When your horse heads into the barn for cooler weather, so does the stink. Bye-bye odor doesn't just mask smells, it breaks down ammonia and bad odors with real science. Fresher stalls, healthier lungs, happier horses. Get yours at spalding-labs.com. For a limited time, new members can save 20% on any U.S. Rider membership during our Black Friday promotion with code BFUSR25. Just go to usrider.org and enter code BFUSR25.
All the articles you have come to love in Equimanagement magazine are now available on the Equimanagement on Audio podcast. Each article is released as its own separate episode to make them quick and easy to listen to. Just search Equimanagement on Audio on your favorite podcast player to listen to all the latest articles.
EHV1, Panic, Preparation, and Poise. Daily temperature monitoring is key to detecting and containing EHV1. The bad news? Equine herpes virus 1, or EHV1, is everywhere, and disease incidents are reported with relative frequency. The possibility of an outbreak is a scary thought, especially with the 2021 Valencia and 2022 California outbreaks still in recent memory. But the good news? EHV1 is everywhere, and most horses aren't getting sick, even after going to horse shows. Katie Flynn, BVMS, Equine Health and Biosecurity Veterinarian for the United States Equestrian Federation, reminds us, EHV is in the environment, at their home barn, at shows, and it's latent in each horse. Herpes is for life. Indeed, Nicola Pusterla, DVM, PhD, DACVIM, an Associate Professor of Equine Internal Medicine at the University of California, Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, Chief of Large Animal Medicine and Section Head of Equine Medicine and Dentistry, and colleagues, conducted a study in 2022 to determine the frequency of respiratory viruses, including EHV1, in nasal and stall swabs from healthy horses attending a sport horse show. Although none of the nasal swabs were positive for EHV1, 3.3% of the stall swabs were positive, highlighting the role of subclinical or silent shutters in introducing respiratory pathogens to shows and their role in environmental contamination. Keep in mind that the rate of silent EHV1 shedding depends mostly on the age and use of tested horses, as well as the time of year, Pusterla says. In Flynn's opinion, the equine industry doesn't need to panic at the prospect of an EHV outbreak. Instead, she recommends putting that energy toward awareness of potential risks. She believes one of the main ways we can minimize the chances of an EHV1 outbreak is through twice daily temperature checks and reporting of fevers at all horse shows. The EHV panic. The hysteria we see with EHV1 is that on rare occasions, the virus can cause the often fatal equine herpes virus myeloencephalopathy, or EHM, Pusterla explains. Everyone is worried about this potential complication of EHV1. But what veterinarians and owners need to appreciate is that by the time you have a horse on the ground with neurological signs, you're at least 10 days into the disease. In general, EHM is very rare. So rare, in fact, that owners, and perhaps even some veterinarians, don't think their horses will ever become exposed or infected. This mentality explains, at least in part, the general laxity in basic biosecurity, particularly the lack of monitoring horses' temperatures daily. But as soon as one horse tests positive for EHV1 at a show, it's literal hysteria, says Pusterla. People take their horses home without implementing any biosecurity measures, and the disease spreads to the resident population at home. And what do we see? Mortality and morbidity, especially in the elderly horses who we know are at an increased risk of disease. Flynn says respiratory disease and EHV1 are far more commonly diagnosed back on resident farms than at weekend horse shows because the incubation period is 7 to 10 days. Preparing for EHV1 exposure. We know anytime horses co-mingle at shows, they're at risk of acquiring not only EHV1, but also other respiratory pathogens, including equine influenza virus, or EIV, Streptococcus equi, subspecies equi, equine rhinitis A, B viruses, and equine herpes virus 4. Flynn says ways veterinarians can work with their clients to keep horses healthy at shows include ensuring the horse is up to date on vaccinations, including EHV1 and EIV, within 6 months prior to showing, completing a declaration of health stating the horse has not had a temperature above 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the previous 3 days and has no signs of illness. Directing owners to take rectal temperatures twice daily while on the showgrounds and voluntarily reporting any spike in fever. Flynn also advises being cognizant of how and when respiratory viruses like EHV1 can spread at the show. For example, we know nose-to-nose contact is one mode of transmission. One of my biggest pet peeves is when someone wipes multiple horses' noses right before they go into the show ring with the same rag, she says. Why are we sharing these? We don't share used tissues. And depending on the discipline and venue, some horses are tied very closely to one another outside the arena, permitting nose-to-nose contact. Most of the time, however, EHV1 is spread by indirect transmission, says Pusterla. Equipment, tack, farriers, veterinarians, groomers, breeders, and other humans traveling from one horse to the next with limited cleaning between. Facing a fever. In addition to taking horses' temperatures twice daily, owners must be prepared and committed to actually reporting any fever above 101.5 Fahrenheit to show management and the competition veterinarian. Temperature taking, Flynn says, is a major means of controlling the spread of respiratory disease, particularly EHV1, at shows. And this is where she says she meets the most pushback. If the owners would just recognize the first spike in temperature and remove the horse from the general population, we would be much farther ahead in preventing disease transmission, Flynn says. Primary equine practitioners can help improve biosecurity at shows by educating clients about the importance of taking daily temperatures and knowing a horse's baseline temperature rather than relying on how the horse looks or behaves as an indicator of disease. In addition to rectal temperatures, various percutaneous thermal sensing microchips are available that might be easier for owners to use, facilitating the temperature taking and habit changing process. Pusterla further reminds primary practitioners that we shouldn't be married to the threshold of 101.5 Fahrenheit. What owners really need to know is each individual horse's baseline temperature, their normal, reproducible, non-exercise temperature. And if it becomes elevated to a fever, call the veterinarian, he says. Even if it's a temporary fever, call the veterinarian, Pusterla asserts. If the fever goes away, owners still have an obligation to isolate that horse for 7 to 14 days because we don't know what the fever was from. We can't just assume it was a non-contagious, self-limiting condition. This holds particularly true for horses on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. It's ill-advised to simply go by the threshold of 101.5. Instead, we must look at the temperature trend for that horse. Temperature is a very reliable indicator of infection, and it is important for veterinarians to educate their clients on this fact, says Pusterla. Poise and grace in the EHV space. In the face of fever, immediately segregate horses and test for respiratory pathogens. But recall that shedding of the EHV1 virus might not occur in synchrony with the fever. According to Merck biosurveillance data, only about 1/3 out of 100 horses with a fever and respiratory signs will have a detectable pathogen, leaving 2/3 of index cases negative, Pusterla explains. But they could still be index cases. We've just either tested too early or too late. We then need to make clinical decisions about how to proceed with that horse based on both the PCR results and the horse's clinical condition. At the Desert International Horse Park in Thermal, California, home to 2,100 to 2,800 horses per day during horse show season, Pusterla says logging temperatures twice daily is expected from all owners. In cases of fever, horses are moved to a holding barn where a point-of-care PCR test provides immediate EHV1 results. Even if test results are negative, the horse is not released. Instead, veterinarians monitor the horse closely and retest 24 hours later in case the first test was performed prior to viral shedding. Then, if positive, the horse is isolated or removed from the premises or returned to its stall if negative. Failing to take twice-daily temperatures or electing not to report a fever, regardless of the type or size of show, is irresponsible, says Flynn. Protecting horse health on the competition grounds is everyone's responsibility. Ensuring only healthy horses compete ensures healthy competition. Failure to do so puts other horses at risk and the show at risk for being canceled or quarantined. Being prepared when returning from a horse show is equally important as the preparation and precautions at the show. In a perfect world, every horse that comes home should be isolated for 21 days, advises Pusterla. Why would we take all these precautions at the show, then stop taking them at home? Testing for respiratory pathogens. Before PCR, testing for respiratory pathogens wasn't popular, largely because the turnaround time was long. With PCR techniques, however, we have rapid, accurate, and widely available testing capabilities, making it much more appealing. Testing might be available to some clients through the Merck Animal Health Equine Respiratory Biosurveillance Program, a program for clinics using Merck Animal Health equine vaccines. If participating veterinarians have a horse with clinical signs of nasal discharge, cough, or lethargy, and a temperature of 101.5 Fahrenheit or higher, they can submit a nasal swab and purple top blood tube to Pusterla's laboratory at UC Davis. The lab tests for EHV1, EHV4, EIV, Streptococcus equi subspecies equi, and ERAV-ERBV, and it provides results within 24 hours. Veterinarians can also submit samples to a commercial veterinary diagnostic laboratory. Some owners are hesitant to test for various reasons, including cost constraints or the downside of having to skip a show or be quarantined at home should the test be positive for EHV1. Further, some owners have the impression that treatment is simply supportive regardless of the underlying cause, begging the question, why bother? Treatment can be generic for some respiratory pathogens, but when dealing with EHV1, owners of horses in high-risk populations may not want to take the chance, risk the spread of disease, and elect to actively treat with antiherpetic drugs. A lot of people will do this these days, Pusterla says. Respiratory research. Information from samples submitted through the biosurveillance program provides the horse industry with an understanding of the prevalence and epidemiology of respiratory pathogens and helps monitor circulating strains throughout the country. Using this data, Bucela has published several studies on the detection and prevalence of common respiratory pathogens in equids. He has also conducted extensive research on respiratory pathogens, specifically environmental detection of EHV1. He is currently conducting a pilot study on testing horse trailers for EHV1. Further, Let's Go Ring, DVM, DACVIM, DECEIM, Professor and Lucille Wright Markey Endowed Chair in Equine Infectious Diseases at the University of Kentucky's Maxwell H. Gluck Equine Research Center, is conducting a study on developing and validating an airborne pathogen surveillance method to detect EHV1 early during equestrian events. He anticipates presenting this data at the ACVIM Forum in Louisville, Kentucky in June 2025. I believe that the most relevant point from the various studies is that silent shedding happens and is one of the ways EHV1 builds up in the environment and can spill over to susceptible horses, says Bucela. Because the environment takes the burden of respiratory pathogens, and such viruses, bacteria can survive in the stall for a few days, it is important to impose proper biosecurity and hygiene at home and anytime horses go to shows. Concluding thoughts. EHV1 is ubiquitous and can resurge in almost any horse at any time. EHV1 is an occupational hazard. It's part of horse ownership, and this means that we sometimes have to skip going to shows if the horse has a fever or leave a show early without competing, Bucela says. Flynn, who works with show management to proactively protect horses from respiratory illness, adds, "I get a lot of pushback from people who don't think it will happen to them. If we can just recognize the first spike in temperature, immediately remove the horse from the population, and not allow it to compete, we can stop the disease in its tracks and protect all horses on the grounds,"